You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The first recorded casualty of September 11, 2001 was New York's fire chaplain, a Franciscan priest named Michael Judge. This past fall, I spoke with Daily News columnist Michael Daly about the life of Father Judge, the subject of his recent book called The Book of Michael. We're airing it again for you now. I started by asking why Father Michael Judge had changed the spelling of his name from the more traditional Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, to M-Y-C-H-A-L.
I think there were a couple of reasons. One, he got it from the name of a black basketball player he saw on TV. And so with his particular sense of humor, he then proceeded with life through life with occasional racist Irish people saying, "Oh, is that the Irish spelling?" And Mike would say, "Oh, yes, it is." And then the other advantage was that there were other Michaels at the friary, and I think chores are listed alphabetically. So
this was at the end.
You had a few M.I.s who were walking around sweeping, a little upset with M.Y.
What does a fire chaplain do, and how was he selected for the job?
Well, he filled in for his predecessor became ill, and as he lived in the friary as well, and as he fell ill, he asked Michael to go. And traditionally, they will go to the scene of big fires and kind of just be a presence and a witness. And then if, God forbid, somebody gets hurt badly, they go to the hospital, and then they try to tend to the family and they handle the funeral. But
some people would be better at it than others, and he seemed to be a natural from the start.
Well, I don't know from the start, because the first fires he went to, he was seen climbing up a ladder with a glass of water for a guy who was throwing about 10,000 gallons of water a minute with a hose. So, I mean, that was but I think he... One of his first day on the job, there was a fireman who was killed, and he went to rescue four, and there were these guys just sitting there broken. And he later said that he said to himself, you know, what do I do? What's this job? And then he just said, well, just be human. That's the job. And that's what he was. And he went, I think what struck him as remarkable about firemen is there were these kind of regular guys knock around, you know, and all of a sudden that alarm would come. And like this grace would descend on them. They would go out there, and all of a sudden there are these guys who are willing to do almost anything for the sake of people they never met.
Did you bump into a lot? Because
I did,
you covered the fire department.
And I still do. And there was a particular fireman, John Drennan, who was burned horribly in a fire on Watt Street in Greenwich Village, who hung on for 40 days. And during that time, I became pretty close with him.
Did Father Michael stand out as a member of the clergy? Because as I understand it, not everybody liked the way he acted.
The Cardinal O'Connor in particular. I think Michael was like, you know, if you took equivalent in the police department, he was this just natural great cop. I mean, he was a genius at what he did. And I think there were some guys who became bosses who in their hearts still wished they were out there doing the job. And there was a lot of jealousy, I think.
Well, but he was a bit unorthodox.
But ultimately very orthodox. I mean, he was like kind of so unorthodox, he was orthodox. He really believed that you're supposed to, live by example. And he really believed that that Jesus stood for actual things outside the institution.
He had an alcohol problem. He joined AA.
He did. And I think that he found great spirituality at AA.
And he also had to work out his sexual orientation.
He did. I think it was very hard for him. I mean, he had no father and went to the seminary when he was 15. And for a long time, I think he didn't know what it was. I mean, it's a little bit like asking a guy who's consigned himself to the desert, do you like motorboats or sailboats? I mean, but I think it was a very difficult thing that he eventually worked through.
Wouldn't you say he was gay?
I would say that he ended up deciding he was gay is what I would say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although at one point he actually expressed interest in marriage to a female friend of his.
Yeah, and I think what it was is that when you think of celibacy, you think, well, they give up sex. But I think that's really a small part of it, particularly as you go older in life, because what you're giving up more than just plain old sex is companionship, intimacy, a family, a home.
Although he did have a close friend,
Alvarado. He did have a close friend, yeah.
Did you ever speak to Alvarado?
I did. A lovely man.
How did the questions about his sexuality or his support of the gay community, because he got very involved in AIDS work.
He did.
How did they affect his relations with others? I mean, for example, he's a fire chaplain, and most firemen are about as macho as you can be, and here's his gay priest.
Well, they didn't look at him as a gay priest, and I think even now with all this talk, I think they still look at him as their priest. And he had kind of a genius for being what you needed him to be without being false. And so when he was with the firemen, he was one of the firemen. I mean, they considered him and still consider him one of their own. If you go by a firehouse and you see the pictures of all the guys who were lost on 9/11, you'll see right amidst all those little tiny mugshots is a big picture of Michael Judge smiling down as if from above.
And he also worked with the homeless, and he was very involved with an AIDS ministry.
He was. The AIDS, and particularly during the time when everybody was afraid and they were bitter about the church, and, you know, he would walk in, and the way he would always start would be start rubbing their feet. At a time when everybody would go into those rooms with double masks and triple gloves, he would just walk in and start rubbing the guy's feet.
Do you think he was a bridge between the gay community and the church?
I think he was a bridge between... He tried to be a bridge with everybody, and his favorite thing was walking over the Brooklyn Bridge, and I think he really felt that heaven wasn't up or down, it was a cross, and he felt that you make heaven in this world, in this life, and I think the way he sought to do that is bridge, and the way, in his view, you bridge from one person to another is you recognize what's good in them.
How did he deal with the controversy over the St. Patrick's Day parade?
Basically, he marched with the firemen. I mean, I think that was a tough spot for him because he certainly had a lot of sympathy with the demonstrators, but at the same time, when that band started up Fifth Avenue, he could not march with the firemen.
My guest is Michael Daly of the Daily News, no pun there. He has written The Book of Michael, which is published by St. Martin's Press, a biography of the first person to anyone thinks died after the 9/11 attacks. Many people in the clergy have struggled with faith in God. They probably think about religion and they think about God more than anyone else on earth. And we just read about how Mother Teresa had real doubts over the course of her life. Was that a problem with Father Michael?
I think what kept Michael kind of anchored in his faith, the firemen actually, I think, had a lot to do with it because he would day in, day out, see these seemingly ordinary men all of a sudden do these extraordinary things. And he also, his working faith was that if you recognize what's good in somebody, that makes it stronger. And that to him is just as the devil isn't evil, God isn't good. And I think that he saw evidence of God and goodness. I mean, even Rudy Giuliani was calling him in the middle of the night for love advice, and Michael would say, just listen to what's good in you. And Rudy said, pray for me. And Michael said, no. God hears from me all the time. I'm sure he's tired of it, but he'd love to hear from a real sinner.
You gained access to his journals, didn't you?
I did,
an appointment book?
Some of them, yes.
And a journal?
Yes.
He started keeping a journal later in his life. Why?
Well, later in his life, he had a notion that he would write a book. And I guess a coming out book in some sense. And he only started it for a brief time, and I think that he...
Coming out in what way? You mean as a gay man?
As a gay man and kind of... I think one fear he had is that people... There were people he was very close to. If they felt he was gay, they might move away from him. And I think he felt that if he did that book, he might do it. But he abandoned the book pretty quickly. And I think that one of the things that he just didn't have that much anger. And I mean, the book, his attempt at the book ends with him. He's at Lourdes, and he happens to go to the hotel, and it happens to be Irish night. So he picks up the mic and starts singing, and this thing that was going to start out being this kind of angry thing ends up with the last line of it is, and a good time was had by all.
So you gain real insight into him in a way that you couldn't otherwise just talking to him.
I hope so, yeah. I mean, I hope that it's as true a book as I was able to write anyway. So.
He What did his family think about him becoming a priest? How did he wind up joining the clergy?
Well, his mother was not big on it. She always said too much religion is no good for anybody. And I think what happened was he was in a Catholic high school in Brooklyn and was getting beaten pretty regularly and was looking to escape. And one day he was a shoeshine boy, and one day when he went into Manhattan, the nuns would sometimes ask him to go pick up mass cards, and he went into St. Francis one day with his shoeshine box, and there was this friar walking around, and the friar said to him, well, you're not going to get much business out of me, because the friar's wearing sandals. And then the friar laughed, and it was the first time Michael had heard anybody laugh in church, and that kind of entranced him, and that started him on his way.
What was he doing on the morning of September 11th? How did he wind up in the World Trade Towers?
He was lying down after morning prayer, and a friar, Brian Carroll, had seen the plane actually go down 6th Avenue and strike the tower, and he ran in and told Michael, I think, you know, told him what happened and said, I think you're needed, and Michael got up and went.
He went to
He went across the street, and he was going to get his car. He kept his car in the firehouse across the street, but there was a captain and a couple of firemen already driving down, and he rode down with them.
And what happened? Do we know how he died?
How he died? I think he was literally scared to death.
Really?
I think he was he was down in the lobby of the North Tower, and someone in the fire patrol said that he looked out on the plaza, and there were bodies everywhere, and said, I think you're needed. So Michael went up, and there was a window looking out at the plaza, and he was saying, God, please stop this. God, please stop this. And then the answer was a body landed right in front of the window and splattered the window. And a moment after that, there was this thundering, and I think he thought that the tower he was in was coming down, and he ran out in the plaza, realized it was the other tower, ran back into the North Tower, and he started back down the escalator into the lobby. Meanwhile, the lobby windows were out, and this kind of hurricane of debris came roaring up the escalator, and I think he must have felt almost like it had circled around to get him.
But he wasn't the first to die. He was the first
recorded. He was the first recorded, I would say.
Why is that?
Well, there weren't many intact bodies arrived at the ME's office, and so he arrives, and there was Feehan and Gansey, who were two significant people in the fire department, and there was another person. And I think one of the reasons he ended up first was that the friars did not want to have an autopsy, and they wanted to get him out of there. And so the clerk sat down and typed DM0001 on the form, and that's how he became officially the first.
You chose to look at what he was doing on other September 11th throughout his life. Why?
I guess that's one of the things that strike you as you're putting together a biography, and one that struck me was there's a little notation in his diary saying, Mort, ashes, September 11th, I think it was like 1998 or something, and so it took a long time to track it down. It turned out Mort was a Jewish hardware store owner in Yonkers who had left word that he wanted his ashes scattered from a fireboat. So I finally tracked down Mort's son. He said, I've got a video of it. So it shows Michael on a fireboat down in the harbor on a beautiful day like that other September 11th with the World Trade Centers rising in the background. And he does this beautiful talk about how when God calls us to him, He calls us in accordance to our own particular beliefs, which is interesting theology. And then he scatters this gray ash, which is very much like the gray ash of the towers. And then you hear someone go, bye, Mort.
Well, you don't have the video, but you have some photographs.
I saw the video. I don't have it in the book, obviously.
Yeah, but you do have photographs in the book, including one showing Father Judge in his last living moments as his body was being carried from the tower.
He was dead by that point, yeah.
Who began the movement for canonization?
I don't know, but I think they didn't really understand Michael very well. Because I think really the message of Michael was not that goodness is in a few particular saints. His whole point was that goodness is in everybody, that you're supposed to recognize it. And I think if you look at those profiles in grief in the Times after 9/11, that's kind of the way he looked at everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, in those profiles, nobody beat their kids, nobody, you know, whatever. They're all the best that everybody wanted to remember, and I think that's the way Michael tried to see people in life.
Is the canonization movement still ongoing?
I guess so, but I mean, I don't know. I think it would be kind of a demotion.
You think becoming a saint would be a demotion?
I do, yeah.
Why?
Because I think there's nothing more magnificent than being a real, truly human person wrestling with the good and bad inside you, particularly if you happen to be living in the city of New York.
You were part of the team that wrote about 9/11 for the Daily News in the aftermath.
I did.
Was Father Michael part of those articles?
It was, actually. I wrote about him. I was down there that day, and really the book kind of started when Pete Hayden, who was the guy who was running the operation in the lobby, came out after the second tower came down, came up and told me that Michael Judge was dead, and my knees went, and I was kind of amazed by the depth of the reaction.
Because you'd liked him so much.
I did like him so much, but there were other good friends I knew were dead at that moment, but there was something about Michael, and I guess in the back of your mind, he was kind of the guy you always turned to.
The book of Michael, The Surprising Life and Heroic Death of Father Michael Judge, is published by St. Martin's Press and the Thomas Dunn Books imprint. And my great thanks to Michael Daly, who is a columnist at the New York Daily News. Too many repeat names there. Michael
Thank
Daly.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much.
I apologize for the repetitions.